Good morning. Today's daf is in the Dharma Samech Vav. We're starting today on the Mishnah on top of the Amud, and we're going to be finishing up the ninth parak. Now, I know that was quick. In other words, we just started the ninth parak, but a short parak over here. And we started in the ninth parak, a new topic within the world of Nedarim. We talked about Pesach, that a person can go to a Chacham and extricate himself from a Neder with a Pesach. He has an opening, and that opening allows him to exit his Neder. So how exactly does that work? So that's what we've been discussing the last number of days. So a couple of details regarding Pesachim. The Pesach has to go to the point of origination, the point of the Neder. In other words, it has to be something where it is a circumstance that existed at the time of the Neder, but he just didn't take it into consideration. So going back to Samach Dalid, the first off of the ninth parak, just a short couple of days ago. So the Mishnah told us that you can't be poskim and olan. It can't be that you're going to exit the Neder based on something that occurred after you made the neder. That's called the nolan, and you can't do that. Now, it happens to be that Rabbi Eliezer argues on that point, but okay, he's a das yachid, he's a shitas tana, but going against the consensus viewpoint, the majority viewpoint, that you can't be poseach menolan, and that's what we learned in the first Mishnah. Then, day two, a quick synopsis of the ninth parak, then day two of the parak, so we learned that you have to do it bifanov, that when you make a Pesach and you made a neder against somebody, so that person has to be brought to the basin as you are exiting your neder. Why should that be? So we saw the Ran, two explanations by the Ran. He brought it down in the name of the Yerushalmi. Anyway, so it has to be bifanov. Okay? Then the mission that we saw yesterday is that there's something that is not exactly a nolad. What exactly is it? So we discussed yesterday. So the basically, you made a neder al tanai. Okay, so when you make a neder al tanai, so then obviously the neder is only going to be contingent on the tanai. Tanai is not the same as nolad. Good. That's what we learned yesterday in yesterday's daf as well. Well, we are starting now. We are at the Mishnah on the top of Samech Vav Amud Aleph, and continuing here in this ninth parak. And Amir Tzeshem today, we conclude the ninth parak. Poskim b'yamim tovim uvishabasos. So let's say the person made a neder. He's not going to be drinking wine, or he's not going to be eating meat. And basically year round, meaning I'm done. I'm done with wine. I'm done with meat. And then he comes to the realization that, oh, wait 1 second, right? The end of every week, of course, we have Shabbos. All right. And Yontif. And what am I? I'm not going to drink wine on Shabbos. I'm not going to drink wine on Yontif. So now, because of the one out of every 7 days, at least, so he's now taking into consideration, oh, I'm not sure if I really thought it through. So now you have a Pesach. But good, and he's gonna exit his neder. All this is things we knew already, but the Mishnah introduces us to a new point. So Birishona Hayomrim Osama Yamim Mutam Shakola Yamim Asurim. So originally what they thought is okay. So now that Pesach gets them out of the neder, but only vis a vis Shabbos and Yantim. Ah Shaba Rabbi Akiva Valime Sha Neder Shotamikhala Hutakulo. And along comes Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's a package deal. Once you extricate yourself from part of the neder, so then that is a full exiting from the entire neder. So this concept, this principle of Rabbi Kiva should sound familiar. We did it earlier in the Masechta, but here's the Mishnah. Meaning now we're learning the principal Mishnah that teaches us this idea, introducing us to the point of Rabbi Akiva, that neder she huter miksaso huter kulo. And the Gemara just gives other examples of this as well. Meaning, we just covered an example that involved units of time. Meaning, the 7 days of the week, where one of those days, now he exited his neder, he got a Pesach and a heter from a chacham to get out of Shabbos. And once you're out of Shabbos, you're out of the neder for all other 6 days as well. Good. So in other words, time get bundled. And not only is this concept true regarding time, it's also true regarding people as well. If I bundle a group of people together, so then once I get a release from the neder from one of those people, so then they're all going to be released. So the Gemara says, the Gemara gives the example. I'm not going to be getting hana from any one of you. Now in English, the word you doesn't work. Because in English, the you singular, so you plural, it's the same. So, okay, fine. So English doesn't do a good job over here. But okay, good. But obviously, we can go back to the Hebrew, right? Right. In Spanish, it works out a lot better. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. But right now, my principal language is English. But anyway, we'll go back to the Hebrew. So nena l'kulchem. So kulchem is a group. So obviously over here in his neder, so he made a collection, a collective of people. So So again, it's the same point that once one is released from the neder, they're all going to be released from the neder. And then in the parentheses, which we normally don't read, but I'm going to read it. Now, this line of the Mishnah, if you remember, if you recall, we're not going to be discussing it with any kind of detail today, but earlier in the Masechta, we discussed this line of the Mishnah. Basically, what you did is that you made a train neder, a neder like a train. And that is that you made a neder against one person, and then what you did is that, and the next person's going to be like him. And then the next person's going to be like him. So basically, you connected a neder one to the next. So now, in this linked neder, one person to the next, so what the Mishnah just basically taught us is the following. Since everyone is connected to the person in front of him, if I got a release from the first person, so then the rest of the nedarim are going to go. If I get a release from the last person, he's the caboose. And so therefore, he's the only one where I'm going to be relieved from, but not anyone in front of him. And if I get released from anyone in the middle of the line, so anyone in front of him is going to be released. Anyone behind him is going to be released. Anyone in front of him is not going to be released. Good. That's the point of the Mishnah. So in other words, there's a lot of ways of constructing a neder with a group, either through a grand unification of the entire group, where there we're going to say, once part of the neder is undone, it's all going to be undone. Alternatively, the neder can be made individually on every single person independent of the other. So then, of course, whoever is going to be released from the neder is going to not affect anybody else. Or now we have this third option of making a group where basically I'm connecting the person to a person in front of him. Okay, good. So there are a number of ways of grouping people. That's the point of the Mishnah. She ani nen lezeh karban lezeh karban. So it's tzrichim pesach l'chol achav echad. Okay, good. And then the Mishnah is just simply saying, and here now is a way to construct a neder where it's totally individualistic, where I'm making a neder against each person individually. Under those circumstances, now the only way to be matir neder is individually. Okay, good. Konim yain shani toim. Okay. Other examples now of neder she huta miksasa huta kula. I'm making a neder against wine, right? Wine is the worst. Phil, I'm sorry you have to hear this. So wine, my apologies. Okay. So konim yain shani toim. So wine is the worst. Shayin rala me'ayim. So because I heard it's terrible for the GI tract. So I'm Rulo. So they say back to him, you're mistaken. Not fully mistaken, partially mistaken. I'm Rulo, v'alo miyushin, yafel me'ayim. So in other words, right. So if you get miyushin, if you get a vintage wine and it's good and it's been aged for a while, so it's not only not bad for you, it's unbelievable. So hutar b'miyushin, v'lo b'miyushin b'vad hutar, ela b'chol ha'yayin. Okay, good. And again, once now there is a release from part of the neder, because you made a neder against wine in total. Now that you got released from some of the neder, because the old wine is, in other words, you were wrong. You were wrong about the old wine. Now, but once you got a release from some of the neder, you get released from the entire neder. Good. Another example. So once again, I spoke to my cardiologist, or at least I thought I did. And he told me, all right, I can say this now. The cardiologists are not here right now, right? But they're coming. So the Shabbat Ralalev, and the onion is really bad for the heart. Amr lo aloha kufri yafalalev. So there's a certain species of onions that's very good for the heart. So hutar bekufri v'lo bekufri bilvad hutar ala bechol abitzalim. Ma'isa haya v'itir Rabbi Meir bechol abitzalim. And okay, again, it's the same point. In fact, one wonders exactly what did we learn new. It's the same exact idea. There's a certain species, subspecies within the onion family that's excellent for the heart. It's called the kufri. And since now you were released from the kufri of your neder, and since you made a collective neder on all onions, so once one of the neder has been removed, part of it's been lifted, all of it's going to be lifted as well. So hutar achor nachor mutar v'kulan asurin mantana amirava Rabbi Shimon hi da'amar. Okay. The Mishnah went on to describe how now you're making individual nedarim. Meaning, I know the Mishnah, the Gemara quoted the section of the Mishnah that talked about the train, where everyone is connected to the person in front of him. But in other words, but really what we're really focusing on is the next line of the Mishnah, where I made Nedarim, but individually, tailor-made for every person individually. So, who's the author of our Mishnah? So, that when you say, Lezeh, Ulezeh, Ulezeh, so that is viewed as an individual neder. So, Mantan Amar Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon. So, the Amar, Ashi Amar Shuvala Cholacha Ve'echad. Okay. So, it is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So, what's going on over here? Who's Rabbi Shimon? Does he have, what does he have to do with anything over here? So, we have to go to the Gemara in Shavuos. So, we're not going to open up a Gemara in Shavuos right now. We're going to just simply look at the Ran. So, look at the Ran over here. Amar Rav Rabbi Shimon, Damar Beperk Shavuos Apikadon. Okay, so he's turning now to the Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Vav. Gabu Hayu Hei Tovim Oso Ve'amar Lo Lecha Lo Lecha. Okay, so people are coming after him, right? Everyone's making a claim against him that he has one of their picadons, right? He was entrusted with an item and he's holding on to the item. Five claims against him, you have my item, from five different people. And now, before we get to this counterclaim, so just pause for a moment. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that if you swear that you don't owe somebody money and then finally come around to admitting that you lied under oath, so now there's a special carbon that you have to bring, right? It's called Asham Gezelos. Good. And so you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring a carbon Asham. Fine. Okay. Huh? And of course, right, that doesn't take care of, perfect. That doesn't take care of your financial responsibility, but in other words, but the Torah under those circumstances requires you to bring a carbon. Okay, good. And you have to pay chomesh. Perfect. Okay, good. So now we're just focusing on the following, and that is your counterclaim. In other words, you're making a shvuah that you don't owe. So you say, and now we're going back to the Ran inside, So what you have to do, according to Rabbi Shimon, is that you have to make separate shvuas to every claimant. So everyone who has a claim against you, you can't say, I swear I don't owe you and you and you and you, meaning that is insufficient to register and make you now liable for five separate karbanos. You have to say, I swear I don't owe you. I swear I don't owe you. That is Shitas Rabbi Shimon. And so what the Gemara now is doing is an alignment. Meaning now that we know the Shita Rabbi Shimon vis-a-vis Asham Gzelos, we're taking that and we're just simply plugging it over here in our Gemara. In our Gemara, we're looking at when is a group a collective? When is a group considered individual? So basically, once we know Rabbi Shimon Shita over there in Shavuos, we take that Shita and we apply it over here. Meaning our Mishnah is a full endorsement of the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And by the way, the Ran points out, that means then the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. Meaning now that we have a Stam Mishnah going like Rabbi Shimon, meaning our Mishnah over here in Nedarim, so that's a tip, that's a tell that the halacha in fact follows like Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Konim Yan Sheni Toim. V'tepikle Dein Ra. The Gemara over here is just bothered by a small question. It's not so small, but in other words, what did he do? He made a neder that I'm not drinking wine. Why? Because I heard it's bad for the GI. Now, the truth of the matter is, how do you undo the neder? You don't have to tell him that it's good. All you need to do is just simply say, you're wrong, it's not bad. In other words, neutral would be fine to undo the neder. Why did the Mishnah go all the way from, you're wrong, it's not bad, it's good? You don't have to shift that many gears. All you have to do is just simply say, it's not bad, it's neutral. That would be sufficient. So, Amar Rabbi Abba of Od Yafa Ketani. So Rabbi Abba says, the Mishnah is giving us medical advice, meaning you're right, you're 100% right. Meaning if all he was wrong about was that it's not bad, it's neutral, then neder would be lifted. Good, that would be a toss. The Mishnah also happens to want to share with us that, you know what, wine's good. Oh, perfect. Okay, Phil, you're back. Konim batzal shani tom shabatzal v'tepikle dein rama Rabbi Abba v'od yafa ketani. And then the Gemara makes the same point regarding Kufri as well, meaning again, it's the same question, same answer. By the Kufri, wouldn't it be enough to simply say that you're wrong about a certain subspecies of onions, that it's not bad? In other words, it's neutral, it's fine, it's just whatever. It doesn't help you, it doesn't hurt you, in other words, but you're wrong. And the Gemara acknowledges, yes, that's right. That would be enough to render the neder a neder betos. It just also happens to be the Mishnah wants to give us good advice as well. In other words, the Mishnah wants us to be healthy and good. And good advice comes along with it. Okay. Good. Samech Vav Amud Aleph, more than halfway down in the Amud. Next Mishnah. Poskan La'adam B'chvod Atzmav B'chvod Banav. So again, what's going to be a legitimate Pesach? So we started off our parak just a short couple days ago in Samech Dalid by saying that you can't be Poseach B'makom. Meaning, did you think about what Hashem would have reacted, how he would have reacted when you made the neder? Now that's not legitimate Pesach, as we learned all the way back, meaning all of 3 days ago. So it's not a legitimate neder. And the reason why it's not a legitimate Pesach for a neder is because no one's going to be honest. Meaning, who is going to have the chutzpah and the audacity to say, yeah, I thought about it, but I don't care. No one's going to be honest. Okay. Contrast that to our Mishnah that we're learning right now. In our Mishnah, so poskim la'adam b'chvod atzmo v'chvod banav. Did you think about your own honor? Did you think about the honor of your children? So omrim lo ilo yisei yodesh la'machar omrim malacha kachi vesto shalploni shemigarish esnasha v'abinosecha yomrim benos grushosein. So in other words, right, people are going to say about you that you're the kind of guy that divorces women. And your children are going to go around with the terms Ben Grusha. Now remember, in other words, the issue is not that he divorced his wife. The issue is that he made a neder in order to start the ball rolling because he wanted to divorce his wife. And then he reconsidered and he wanted to be released from the neder, meaning he now doesn't want to divorce his wife. So as what would be used as a legitimate Pesach for Heter Chacham is going to be, did you think about your reputation when you made the neder? In other words, as somebody who is contentious, somebody who's cantankerous, somebody who simply can't get along with others. Oh, right? Good point. Did you consider maybe that your children now are going to be given branded the terms of a Ben Grusha? Oh, good point. Meaning, satisfying ways of releasing somebody from an eder. Because we're going to assume that he'll be honest in his response. Okay.
Why is not it the same case as a meet on Shabbos? Like he has to have conjugal relation with his wife.
Right, right.
So like a meet Shabbos is the same.
Well, okay, fine. The Gemara elsewhere, there is a way to construct a neder in which it doesn't violate his shibudim. Meaning, you're right, generally speaking, whenever any neder is made against a wife, in other words, the basic question to ask is, he's got shibudim towards her.
Right.
Right, and so there is a way, right? In other words, yes, it's possible to phrase it in a way in which he can make such a neder. But you're right. Generally speaking, he can't make the neder. So, ma ra sa iman sha'ela li skyresh. I'm sorry. I should have just kept on reading. So, ma ra sa iman sha'ela li skyresh. And obviously now, right? In other words, as part of what people will wonder, aside from your nature, in other words, what's her nature? How is it, that she's somebody who, the husband wanted to divorce her? So, va'amri ilo aisi yoder, shekin lo aisi noder, hariz amutar. And again, he's like, okay, in other words, I didn't take that into consideration, but now that you're making me more aware and conscious about it, you're right. Good, excellent point. The Mishnah gives other examples as well. Konin shani noseis ponis ka'ura v'harehina. So this should sound familiar because we covered this Mishnah yesterday, but we didn't learn the Mishnah side yesterday. The Gemara side of the Mishnah. Now we're learning the Mishnah in proper. And the Mishnah says is that I'm making a neder, I'm making a shvua. Let's keep it to the neder. So I'm making a neder, because this woman is, I'm not marrying this woman. She's not going to be getting any benefit from me. And why? Because she's unattractive. So, varehina. Now, he wasn't given good information. I don't know where his information, I don't know who gave him the information, but anyway, he wasn't right. In other words, he looked at her and he saw that she's beautiful. Yeah. So, the wrong complexion. Meaning, I heard she was a one type of complexion, and meanwhile, we have bad information. So, Kitzar Vare Yaruka. I heard she was really short. Again, not good information. So, Motaba. And the Mishnah then goes on to explain. It's not because any of these attributes actually changed. Kitzar Vinasa Saruka. Elisha Nedertos. This is just classic examples of a Nedershabatos. He made a neder based on false information. And then later on, once the information actually gets clarified, he doesn't need to go to a chacham. He doesn't need sheilas chacham. This is what's called a neder betos. So so over here, basachoso, the daughter of his sister. In other words, the shidduch was read that he should be marrying his niece. Okay. Now this is not a new phenomena for us here in the daf. We just saw another example of this as well. For an uncle to marry his niece, it's not one of the arayos in the Torah. In fact, moreover, back in the day, it was encouraged that the uncle should be marrying the niece. And by the way, basachoso. In other words, not just any niece, but specifically your sister's daughter. Okay. Right. What we just discussed this the other day, whether nowadays anybody practices this anymore. Okay. Anyway, it's not conventionally done, but with exception. So anyway, and once again, a man made a neder that he's not going to be marrying his niece. In other words, he didn't think it was a good shidduch. So she, what did she do? She went to Rabbi Shmuel's. Now, I'm not saying this disrespectfully, but she went to Rabbi Shmuel's spa. Right? So Rabbi Shmuel basically gave her a treatment right? I don't think Rabbi Shmuel himself, in other words, but basically Rabbi Shmuel had his family take care of her and basically improve her looks. Now, I know because the Gemara is going to ask, wait one second. You just told me that these things don't change. And meanwhile, the story immediately following that is the story with a girl who went to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel's family took care of her and basically improved her looks. And that goes against what we just learned in the Mishnah. Hold that thought. Amarlo Rabbi Shmuel b'ni mizuna darta. Now Rabbi Shmuel says, what's it called? Now after she just got a spa treatment from Rabbi Shmuel, So now Rabbi Shmuel presents her to her uncle, right? This meaning she looks a lot better now. So I'm a low love. So v'itir Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel says, okay, I'm going to be matir. Now ba'osa shah ba'cha Rabbi Shmuel ve'amar benos yisal now saying, and Rabbi Shmuel cried and he said, really, all Jewish women are beautiful. Ela she'anios menav lasan. It just happens to be that right now because they're so poor, so they can't take care of themselves, but really they're beautiful. And when Rabbi Shmuel died, so Rabbi Shmuel was an advocate for all Jewish women, and so you can imagine now the hesped and the eulogies that were given by the women upon the death of Rabbi Shmuel. So they would put on very modest clothing when they would The eulogies that they gave Rabbi Yishmael were basically that he took care of them. I'll give you precedence, says the Gemara, of where women really gave a powerful eulogy to somebody who died, and this just takes us all the way back to Shaul, the death of Shaul. So the death of Shaul, which occurs at the end of Shmuel Aleph, and now we're moving to the beginning of Shmuel Beis. Meaning Shmuel is one big Navi. And we didn't do this. It's not a Jewish thing, but it's broken up into two parts, Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet. Okay, that wasn't a Jewish convention. The non-Jews did it, but we picked up on it. And if that sounds a little bit strange, by the way, it shouldn't, because same thing regarding Prakim and Psukim, right? Did you know? All right, I think everyone here does. Right, did you know? The Chumash's Prakim are not a Jewish convention. We didn't do that. Okay. But nevertheless, though, it's really useful and it has great usage. And so therefore it really makes it easier to find things in the Chumash. And so therefore we went along with it. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Just fun facts for the day. So we are now right at the end of Shmuel Aleph where Shaul dies. And now we're at the beginning of Shmuel Beis, where eulogies for the death of Shaul. So Benos Yisrael, Al Shaul Bechena, and you go through the psukim over there. So they gave, in other words, the psukim describe how they gave a powerful eulogy to the death of Shaul. Now happens to be, in other words, we're not given the context over there in Sefer Shmuel. Meaning over here, we know why the women were maspid Rabbi Yishmael, because he was an advocate for Jewish women. Okay. Maisa Lister. So the Gemara says, okay, what I have trouble doing now is transitioning from the first part of the Mishnah to the second half of the Mishnah. In the first part of the Mishnah, we said, these things don't change. Meaning, a woman, if she is unattractive, is not going to become attractive. And if a woman is short, she's not going to become tall. Meaning, these things don't change. And then the Gemara tells a story with Rabbi Shmuel, who basically, in other words, after seeing a woman who was unattractive, he made her beautiful. Okay. What just happened in the Mishnah? So, Maisa Listor. So the Gemara says, okay. That's the question. Maisa Listor. The story is basically going against what we learned in the beginning. Chitzor Mechzor V'Achik Tani. So what we're doing is we're missing a little chunk of the Mishnah. And so let's fill in the blank, shall we? Rabbi Shmuel Amer, Afilu Kal Rav Nasa Nash, Chor Rav Nasa Levana, Kitzar Rav Nasa Saruka. So, and Maisa Be'echa Shenadabi Vasa Chosav, V'ichnisu Lebeis Rabbi Shmuel V'yafiwa. So what we're missing in the Mishnah is the following. Rabbi Shmuel saying the following. Look, I'll go so, in other words, I'm, Rabbi Shmuel says to the Tanakhama, generally speaking, okay, in other words, right, a woman short is not going to become tall, so forth and so on. But I disagree with you fundamentally. In what way? We go back to the beginning of our perek, right? And as we laid out in the introduction of today's daf, Rabbi Shmuel is of the position that you can be poseach benolad. Meaning, even if there was, if she did undergo a change, so then what you could do is you can make a Pesach based on that change. The change was made after you made the neder. Yeah, I know. The Rabbi Shmuel is in agreement with Rabbi Eliezer, meaning the sheets of Rabbi Eliezer at the beginning of this parak that you could be poseach benolad. Rabbi Shmuel says, I agree with him. Okay, and I know earlier we talked about how Rabbi Eliezer is a sheetas yachid, and we don't follow him. Okay, and we'll say the same thing regarding Rabbi Shmuel. Even though now that means that there are two Tanaim that subscribe to this viewpoint. Okay, but still. And then to Rabbi Shmuel's now fundamental disagreement with the Tanakhama, that you can create a Pesach via Nolad. So now he says, look, and not only that, but look, in terms of height, right, that Rabbi Shmuel has nothing he could do about it. But in terms of beauty, okay, so in other words, the woman's impoverished, and what he did is he treated her and gave her basically a spa. And then she came out, and she came out beautiful.
Well, here you notice it. She was missing a tooth. Missing a tooth, so that's not like...
The tooth is coming up.
So that's a simple thing.
Next part. Tana. Okay. So Rabbi Shmuel made her more beautiful. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. Tana Shein Toteves Haisala. Okay, so good. So what exactly happened in the spa? Okay, like I know. So I don't know. But anyway, but over here, the Gemara gives us more details. The Brisa gives us more details. And that is that she had a Shein Toteves. So I just learned this morning, right? My Chavrusa speaks Hebrew, right? Not nearly as well. So in Hebrew, the dentures are called the Shein Toteves. I didn't know. What she had is that basically she had dental work, but really not nice one, not nice dental work. In other words, clearly it was some sort of fake teeth. So what he did is that he gave her basically new dentures made out of gold. Okay.
It looks so good.
Again, if we saw it, we probably would understand a lot better how it was an improvement. Good. So the Kishach, Rabbi Shmuel Pasachalahu Savdana Hachi. Okay, and over here the Gemara says that the death of Rabbi Shmuel, so the Maspidim, the eulogizers, they eulogized the same way the women did. Meaning, I know we already heard this in the Mishnah, how the women eulogized Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara is just simply adding that not only were the women, but the Safdanim as well, right? The hired eulogizers gave the same hesped, meaning they also went to the to Sefer Shmuel, and they also quoted from the Psukim, just like the women eulogized over the death of Shaul, so too the Safdanin did the same thing for Rabbi Shmuel years later. Okay, from here until the end of the parak, a short couple of stories, basically indicating that, you know what, if you can make Shalom Bayis, do it. Make Shalom Bayis. Obviously in your own home, okay? But moreover, in other words, if somehow you have some sort of influence where you can make shalom bayis in somebody else's home, it's a mitzvah. Now, I say that, by the way, there's going to be one Tana coming up in these next short couple of stories that seemingly is not totally on board with that, meaning I'm sure this one Tana we're about to introduce to, not now, but in just a short couple of minutes from now, I'm sure he subscribes to the idea of shalom bayis, but not at the expense of his kavod. Okay, but that's coming up in just a moment. But basically, the ideas behind the upcoming stories are basically whatever you can do to create shalom bayis, do it. Go for it. And moreover, the Ron says at the end of the parak, the last comment of the Ron, at the end of the parak, and also, in other words, we're going to look at some of the Sadiqi Chaside Yisrael and our great, our Gedolim, and look at their practice and look at their behavior and try to emulate their behavior. Okay, so story number one. How damar lo devasai konim shi iat nenesli ashe titimi tavshilech le Rabbi Hula Rabbi Shimon. Okay, he had enough of his wife's cooking, right? She was a disaster in the kitchen. Okay, again, it's not these are not nice things to say. Yeah, these are not nice things to say. But anyway, it wasn't working out. I'll tell you what, you're not getting hana from me, he says to her, until Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon come over and they try the food. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda time. So Amar Kavachomer Ma Laaso Shalom Beinish Leisha Amar Torah Shemi Shenichta Bekdusha Yimacha Al Ha Mayim Ham Me'aririm. So Bisafek. So Ve'ani Alachas Kama Ve'Kama. Okay. And look, in other words, the Gemara always turns to this as a case study for shalom bayis. What does the Torah allow? The Torah allows you to erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name for shalom bayis. Now, obviously, what the Gemara is making reference to over here is Sota. This, I assume we all know, and that is that if your wife is suspected of having committed adultery, I'm oversimplifying. So you bring her to the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Beis HaMikdash, she's going to be drinking water mixed in with the dirt, the earth of the Beis HaMikdash. And on top of that, you're throwing in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the water, and the name's going to get erased. An erasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is, generally speaking, an Isser. But over here, the Torah allows it. Why? Because it may result in shalom bayis. Now, by the way, it may not. In other words, she may have committed adultery, at which point in time she's going to die. But there's a chance that there's going to be shalom bayis that emerges from this. So if erasure of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, which may lead to shalom bayis, if that's allowed, so what Rabbi Shimon now is arguing is, okay, so, what Rabbi Yehuda now is arguing is, okay, so now what? Okay, so it's a little bit degrading. I have to go and I have to eat her cooking in order to create shalom bayis. But what Rabbi Yehuda said is, okay, but okay, a little bit of zilzal, that's fine. Rabbi Shimon lo tayim. Now, on the other hand, now remember what the husband said is, I need Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon to come in here and taste your food. Okay, now Rabbi Yehuda, as we just learned together, so he tasted the food. Now Rabbi Shimon, no, he did not. Lo tayim. Amar Yumusu Kol Bnei Amana Ve'Al Yizon Shimon Ve'Al Yazuz Shimon Mim Kamo Ve'Ot Yehech Delo L'Targale L'Mindar. So Rabbi Shimon made two arguments in terms of why he's not going to do it. So first of all, he said, and I know this is strong language, Yumusu Kol Bnei Amana, right? Let her children die, and Al Yazuz Shimon Mim Kamo. But I'm not moving from my location. In other words, it's a zilzul tamachacham. Right, Rabbi Shimon, and by the way, Rabbi Shimon, I assume, is the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So, generally speaking, throughout Shas, whenever we describe Rabbi Shimon, discuss Rabbi Shimon, we're talking about the Rashbi, the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So he says, right, in other words, you're talking about a zilzul of a Talmud Chacham, I am not participating. And furthermore, all we're going to do is encourage this behavior, meaning the husband made a bizarre neder, And connected it to a condition of, I need Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon to come over and taste your food. And it's a bizarre neder. And if we capitulate to this, all we're going to do is encourage them to make more nedarim. So Rabbi Shimon says, I'm not participating. Okay. And by the way, I understand there's a built-in tension over here. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda took one position, Rabbi Shimon took another position. Rabbi Yehuda said, Shalom Bayis is going to be the overarching force. Okay, and Rabbi Shimon is more on the side of the proper respect and decorum for a Talmud Chacham. So who's right over here? I'm not at liberty to say who's right, meaning it's a tension. And you see the Tanaim basically taking positions over here, and I'm certainly not in a position to tell you which one of them is right. How damar le devasai konim shiat nenes liatche shetaroki bo Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Once again, the husband who seems to be a little bit off, so he says, is that, look, we're going to make a neder, and the only way that the neder is not going to be chal is only if you spin on the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was the nasi of the Jewish people, and he's demanding that she spit on him. So also zvarakak alavushe, and so what she does is she spits on his clothing. So amrele revachem midipsle ravina v'ha'hai lezilusika mechavein. Now over here, did that qualify? Yes or no? In other words, the intent of the husband was that he wanted to be mezalzel. He wanted to disrespect the Rashbag. So amrele meirak almane de Rav Shimon Gamliel zilusa rabasahi. Yeah, qualifies. In other words, he wanted to disparage her with the Rashbag, even though she didn't spit directly on him, she spit on his clothing. That's sufficient. That would be enough. How one more time, the husband, again, the demand over here is off. It's slightly dysfunctional, but again, the Gemara's point over here, the Ran makes it very clear. The Gemara's point over here is that we're going to look at the reaction of these Tanaim and how basically they're patient. They understand. Okay, in other words, they have to deal with people, and people sometimes are a little bit off. And okay, that the important part is that the gedolim have to understand that, respect that, and acknowledge that. So over here, same thing. So the husband says, "Ashitiri mum yafesh shabach leRabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi." Right. In other words, he says to his wife, "There's nothing about you that I like, and if you can show one attractive quality to Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, so then fine. So then the neder won't be chal." Now, by the way, the Ran offers two explanations of the Gemara. I chose to go with the second explanation of the Ran. Okay, anyway. So, Amar Lahem Shema Roshana, Amar Lo Sigal Gal. So, over here, bizarre conversation over here. Rabbi Shmuel says, look, head beautiful. He's like, nope, not beautiful. Sigal Gal, it's round. Shema Sora, beautiful hair. Doma Lanitze Pisha, that's like flax. Shema Inah, no, the eyes are beautiful. Truto say, no, they're not nice. They're trutos, rounded. Shema asna naos, maybe the ears are nice. Kefulo say, nope, they're doubled over. Shema chotmana, maybe the nose is nice. So belumhu, nope, nose is not nice. Shema sifso say naos, what about the lips? Avo say, nope, they're not nice. Shema tzavarna, what about the neck? Shakut, who? Shakut means it's short. Shema kresana, a beautiful belly. Tzava, who? Nope, not nice. Shema regla naos, maybe the legs. The rechavos kishel avza. Nope, the Gemara says they're like geese. Shema shema naha. So maybe her name is nice. Lachluchis shema. No, her name is Lachluchis. Lachluchis means dirty. So amar lem yafekoronos lachluchis imeluchleches b'mumim v'shar yuha. So he says, well, you know what? I got to tell you this. In other words, the name matches her. In other words, so there is symmetry in that we have a match between the name and her qualities. Okay, so shayaha. So that feature is nice, and so they permitted the neder. They were matir the neder. Again, point of all this is that his patience for such an individual. In other words, okay, you know, we have to emulate our gedolim. Our gedolim had patience for people. We need to have patience for people. How bar bavel the saklari disol nasif hisasa? Somebody who is a bar bavel, someone from bavel. And made aliyah, married a woman, Amrla Bishilili Talfei. I'm sorry, Trey Talfei. So I want you to cook for me two Talfei. Talfei over here to be understood as Adashim. And so in other words, a little bit of food. Now, what did she do? Bishlele trei talfei. So what did she do? She took actually two lentil beans and she cooked them. Okay, when I was a kid, by the way, they had us reading Milya Bedelia.
Right.
Okay, perfect. And basically, in other words, the literalist. In other words, you say something and she didn't understand the context and the subtlety. And basically, in other words, the failure in communication because everything you say, she took literally. Over here, same thing. So rasa chala. Okay, so in other words, for dinner, he's looking at two little lentil beans. Okay, good. So Amrle Bishilile Grive. So he asks now for a certain measure to be cooked, and Bishila Griva. And so what this woman does is that she made basically a griva, meaning instead of an amount that was sufficient for everybody, once again, just the smallest little unit. And once again, Amar Lai Zilla Isilai Tre Butsine. So he asks now for Butsine. Butsine, the Ran says, is the Aramaic explanation, translation of what you and I probably refer to as watermelon, some form of a melon. So Azav Isilai Tre Shagi. Now she brings in two candles. Because as Aran points out over here, candles also go by the term butsine. So again, she's just simply not understanding him. So Amar Lai Zilla Tavi Yasan Aresh Debava. So I want you to take now these two candles and break them at the door. In other words, he used the word bava to describe the doorway because in Aramaic the doorway is called bava. Good. Have a yasa ben buta bava. Now it happened to be at the time that you had the Tana bava ben buta, and probably you're going to guess what's going to happen at this point in time because the two candles that she brought home, where he instructed her to break them at the doorway. But now bava ben buta, his name happens to be sharing the same word as the doorway, so what she's going to do now, she's going to take it and she's going to break it over his head. So the Baba Mabuta Baba Vikadan Dina happens to be that at the time he was serving as a judge, also Vitabra Yason, Al Reshe. So she takes the candles and she breaks them right over the head of Baba Mabuta. Amrala Mahadain Da Avarata. So now obviously he's trying to understand Baba Mabuta. Like, what are you doing? So Amrala Kahsivani Bali. She's like, all I'm doing is just listening to my husband. My husband is giving me instructions, and I'm following instructions. Why not? Okay, he told me to do it. So Amar Ata sits with some baalech hamakom yotzi mimcha shnei banim kevav ben buta, and he gives her a bracha. In other words, good. All you're looking to do is fulfill the wishes of your husband, and fantastic. And my bracha to you is that you should have children just like bava ben buta. Okay. In other words, once again, I'm going to read the run inside. It's beautiful. Meaning these stories seem to be silly. But obviously, the Gemara is not going to be wasting our time with these stories unless there are lessons to be learned. Aisi hacha, the Ran writes at the end of the parak. Aisi hacha, hayuvda lashminan chasiduse de baba bembuta ki hecha de aisi hacha uvda de Rashbagu de Rabbi Shmuel. Meaning, just like with the Mishnah told us the story of Rabbi Shmuel. Meaning, imagine Rabbi Shmuel's like treating these women to a spa. And by the way, now that we learned the Gemara, it's not a spa. In other words, the woman had really, really unattractive teeth, and in other words, bad denture work, and he gave her better denture work. Okay. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel now is showing kindness, patience, and really trying to help people out. And that's the whole point of all these stories over here. Same thing with the Rashbag, same thing with Baba Mabuta that we just saw together. Okay, so these are Maisa Chasidim, and going over their actions and how they treat people and how they have patience for people. And obviously, a lesson to be learned by us. Meaning, this is the way that we should conduct ourselves with people.